Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 133 of Riding Through the Ages, our revolving journey through the eras of Kamen Rider. I am Eric.
And I'm Eugene.
And today we'll be in the 33rd episode of Kamen Rider 1971, entitled The Steel Monster Armadillo Long. It aired on November 13th, 1971. It was written Masayuki Shimada, and it was directed by Katsuhiko Taguchi. I said the writer's first name, and I felt like it was a whole name, so I stopped.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought you were going to say Watanabe after that, and then but it's, I thought you stumbled because you were like, oh, that's a different first name.
His first name is Masayuki.
Or Shimbasaki is what I meant.
Sorry. Oh, it's Shimbasaki. No, it's a different thing. It's like, I said the first name, and it's like, oh, that's the end of it. No, it's the start. What am I doing? Got to keep going. But yeah, so an armadillo monster.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be good. I mean, there's no way it's not.
Yeah. I mean, there's have been bad. Well, they have been bad episodes of 71.
Yeah. You know, I was
I mean, it takes a lot to get a bad episode of 71.
Especially because expectations. Yeah. You know, you go in with low expectations. Well, not low, but different. Like, forgiving expectations. It's like, okay, when you're watching an old, like, you're watching, Creature from the Black Lagoon or something like that. And if you're expecting a horror movie.
Well, like I see it, it's like, you don't watch professional wrestling for the, like, it's like, you don't watch professional wrestling for the locations. It's like, every once in a while they'll have something in, like, the thing. But it's like, that's not the reason you're going there for yeah. it. You know? You're like, you're going for it for the ballet with violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you'd be like, I don't know about this camera work.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a wrestling match.
Right. Well, they could have done better there. I mean, I'm sure
the special effects were off. I don't know about that transition.
Yeah. It's horrible. It's like, oh, let's see how they finish in the third
or
act.
The sound. You don't watch it for the sound design.
Yeah, sound quality. Yeah.
But I don't know. That slap didn't seem authentic. Didn't sound authentic.
Nah, it's definitely the easier the shows to, like, let
forgive.
Things go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forgive. Well, speaking of which, I thought about it. I thought about it a little bit with 01. I'm not as salty now. Still a little salty, just that I'm more willing to let it go through. I figure I was going to wait until the 01 comes around, but then by then I probably forgotten. And
yeah.
It'll be weird that I've just changed my opinion like that. I just want to say that, okay, there's some interesting things that can come from FUA having
an intelligent cyborg.
An intelligent cyborg thing in his brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the very least, if nothing else, it gives Metsubo Jinrai an end to the story.
Yeah.
Besides Gene just wanting to randomly liberate Huma Gear, which
yep.
there's only so much you can do with that without saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So, just wanted to get that out of the way. Now we can get back to 71.
Yeah.
It's 33. So, I remember you saying something like the bit with Zold's going to be done not too long from now, and Ichigo will be back.
I think 45, 46.
Is when Zol's done?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so yeah, so every episode now with Zol is it's a treasure.
Yes, gotta just be with that Nazi who can make himself look like anybody but never does it again.
Yeah. He's done it, what, two times total?
He did it once, the one his original episode, he never did it.
I could have swore he did it again not too long ago. It wasn't like an important bit, but I could have swore it was like with the...
No,
the,
we thought he should have, and he just never did it.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was one of those things that, like, it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Been it. But I do know, yeah, it's, he's whenever he's in the plot, it's good. I mean, most of the time, he's just kind of, like, at a console, it feels like,
yeah.
these days.
Yeah. The thing is like, he gives that interaction with the villains instead of just great leader blaring.
Yeah.
You got that guy who gets to talk to, like, the scientist they kidnapped that week. Or belittle the monster they have that week. You
right.
know, you get to have that little, like, interaction. You know, like you were saying, like, can you imagine if we just never saw Metsubo Jinrai?
Right.
It's the same story, but we just never saw them.
Yeah, they were only talked about.
We never see Museum.
True. Oh, that would be horrible.
We never see the Grungi.
Yeah.
Or the Grungi, or, like, Museum is just, the only times we see them is the guy just selling the memory, and that's it, done.
Yeah, that's the end of the... Yeah,
and that's what it felt like at the start
entirely.
Of, like... It's like, we knew that Shocker was bad guys, but it was just like, here's the plan, moving on. You know, he didn't add any personality to it. And it really starts, because it's like I'm saying, this is like a carryover that carries over into most series. Not all of them, but most series, where there's like some personality in the villains.
Mm.
And it and comes over, they start doing it in Sentai, and they do it in Sentai also. It's not like I said, it's not every season. There's a couple of seasons where it's like, it's monster season, deal with it.
Yeah.
But it's like, then they focus on other relationships and stuff like that, like in Blade and Kibiki and stuff.
Okay.
It's a nice to like have that personality.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes sense because I do like this better than just random great leader bits. I mean, I am interested to see where that goes.
Yes.
Where a great leader goes. But I mean, he's still part of the story, obviously.
Yes.
He's just not a huge, huge part, or maybe the biggest part, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
But it's like, really, you can't reveal him until you want him gone.
Yeah.
Sort of things. Like, he cannot be revealed unless he's being taken care of. Otherwise,
what's the point?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Why was he hidden then?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if he's on the ground doing the leg work, then, like, you know, this should have been dealt with episode three or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
If he's not revealed to be taken out or, like, soon to be taken out, what's the point of him being hidden the whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, he should have been in episode one.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's either he can't show up because he's, like, a brain in a jar, or he's going to show up and be defeated.
Yeah.
That's the only two things that I can see.
Yeah.
I mean, this is definitely the time in history, you know, 1970s, 1980s. Well, no, 1960s, 1970s are where you see the great supervillain with a brain in a jar,
yeah.
Or like the 50s even.
Yeah.
Where that's still not totally tired. Like, these days, I can't imagine a movie in, well, I take that back. 2021, 2022, you could have a brain in a jar villain because it's retro. What I'm saying is that it doesn't work as a villain, like a serious one.
Yeah.
You have to, that's like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Which is 1970s. It's like the movies.
After Futurama, it's really hard.
Right.
Where that was like a constant running joke.
Yeah. Brains in the jar everywhere.
Yeah. Just heads everywhere.
Yeah, like full-on heads. Yeah.
Yeah, it was because the whole...
Nixon.
It all started with the whole Disney thing.
Oh, yeah.
The urban legend that his head was kept frozen in a jar.
Yeah.
And then it like... I'm pretty sure it isn't, but then it's like, that was the idea. It's like, and then like in the future, they are revived. And so like everybody's head's in a jar, you know, type thing. Yeah. It's just like everybody, like, it's just like, so everybody put their head in a jar.
Yeah. You think at a certain point you'd see like,
because like once it started becoming a thing where like, yeah, then they can revive them. Yeah. Then everybody's putting their head in a jar.
Yeah. I mean, but before, if you want to, I don't know if I would want to live forever like that.
Yeah.
It would be different if, cause I mean, I think at one point I think Nixon's the most recurring head in a jar, but when you see him, he's got like these robot, he's like on a robot spider thingy.
Yeah.
I'd maybe go for that.
Yeah.
But if you look at like the common people or even like average, like, actors that they want to bring up in the show, they're like on this long shelf, like,
yes,
40 tall and just infinitely long, and yeah, you just put there.
Yeah.
So you're going to be around the same like 20 people.
Yeah.
forever.
I mean, so in Doctor Who, they had a thing with a guy whose head was in a jar. It was in a box.
Mm.
And but he was fine because he had like a media chip implanted in his head, and he had like access to Wi-Fi. Oh,
okay.
And he just like basically just,
that's not bad.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
Yeah. It's like,
I think I'd make an exception like that, especially if I can like block out the sound. Like, it depends on what my setup is.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, just pretend nobody else is around and just play a video game, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Be like lockdown all over again.
Yeah. I mean, there have been times though that I felt like super restless and want to get up and like walk around just because, you know. Even though you have plenty of things that you could look at, you're just like, I don't want to be at my computer right now. I got to go.
Yeah, but
do
that's
something.
Like a nervous energy. But if you don't have a body, you don't get that nervous energy.
True. I mean, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a whole different world. Anyways, so Armadillo shooting fire at his face, probably.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's got to be. Like, there's no way they're going to go just with hardened scales. I'm curious if they're even going to have like a carapace or something like
yeah.
that. Like a. What are they called? Are they pachyderms? I can't remember.
Armadillos?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember. I think they're rodents of some sort.
That could be, yeah.
I feel like they're rodents, what am I thinking of? Like a ferret type thing or something like that.
Mm.
Maybe a rodent of some sort.
Okay.
But we've also talked about how, like, classifications don't matter.
No, they don't. I'm just saying, like, I'm just wondering if it's going to have something to do with hardened skin or if it's going to roll, or maybe it'll be a rolling fire wheel of some kind, because we can almost always say that the creature's going to have fire.
Yeah.
Even if it has nothing to do with
fire.
Anything. Because it's like, if you're a mad scientist.
Why not fire?
Yeah, why not laser eyes?
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Freaking laser beams.
Got to do something like
that. Okay, so we're going to go check this out, and we'll be back.
Is she?
Okay, and we are back. And actually, quite a bit happened in this episode, it felt like.
A little bit, yeah.
It felt like almost two episodes when they went to the, like...
It did. You know, there it kind of zoomed past. My notes were very furiously written. It's like, oh,
yeah. And it wouldn't have felt rushed if we didn't have to take notes on it. We just, that's the thing.
Just enjoy the show.
Yeah.
It was wacky. There's things it's actually a few things I didn't like, a few things I liked a lot.
Yeah, a couple of things were like, talk more about this.
Uh-huh.
And then other things are like, yeah, let's move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's like this episode, you could have broken this up into like a full season of another show.
Oh, for sure.
This has been like a 13 episode arc and another show.
This at the very least deserved a movie.
Yeah. So opening happens. It comes in and it's just some guys. I guess they're taking their lunch break from
four or five dudes taking a lunch break in the woods. I don't know what their work is.
I don't know.
Probably maybe let's just say farmers for the sake of speeding it up. Because they're all covered in dirt, so it's something hands-on.
Yeah, mushroom picker or something.
Yeah,
you know.
So they're sitting there eating lunch, and then they hear like an explosion and the ground shake, and they're like, "Whoa, what's that?" Like, "Oh, maybe it was a plane crash. Let's go check it out."
And they go and they find this big hole in the ground.
Yeah, this huge hole, and they're like, "Whoa, what's going on?" As they get closer, they see what looks like kind of a freaky rock thing,
and they're like, "Is it aliens type thing?" You know.
Yeah.
And then
creature stands up. And he's got it's Armdillong, and he's got this rock in his hand, and he just crushes it in half.
Yeah, gotta show them their powers.
They're like, oh, and they start running off, and then he's like, dun dun screwball.
Yeah, screwball attack.
Yeah, screwball shot.
Rolls
up in a ball and flings himself at him. Which, you know, obviously he misses the first time, because otherwise there'd be no drama here.
Yeah. Things blow up when they touch him when he's screwdriving.
Oh, yeah. He hits hard.
Trees, building, everything just blows up touching him.
Yeah, so obviously they're freaked out and they're like, get inside. And they get inside this house and he screwball shots down this cliff, through some trees, crashes through the wall of the house. And it's horribly done. I mean, these are definitely really small houses with this gigantic ball. Like, if you were looking at it by scale, he's like 12 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're like... boxes.
I feel like this would be an example, like in a modern Kamen Rider, he really would be like 12 feet tall.
Like he gets larger when he spins, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, like he'd probably be like, and then he would grow as he gets to form and then rolls and then, you know. Yeah.
Or like when he spins, he just builds up speed.
Like kind of like momentum creates a bigger
snowman's it in. Yeah. Snowman, snowballs it.
But something like that. Because he's almost as tall as the house when he hits it.
Yeah. Because he takes out like three or four buildings.
And so they all run out of the house and go to the next one. He just does it again. This time he rams in the house and it explodes.
Yeah.
So they're dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, ha-ha. And then it goes to Shocker Base.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of what are they actually called? I keep saying goons. They have a name, right?
The Shocker Troops.
Shocker Troops? Just Shocker Troops?
Yeah.
So the Shocker Troops are like, whoa, that was cool. Like, man, he's really strong. Look at that guy. And Zol's like, look at this.
Yeah.
It's the best guy, the best second or third guy we've gotten from Brazil.
Yeah.
Brazil, man, just popping him out.
Yeah. Oh, well, so, okay. If I remember correctly, there is a large Japanese population in Brazil.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's been there for, like, a long time.
Gotcha. All right, so they're just like, kind of giving props to
So it's like, it's just like a thing. I mean, it would be like England talking about... like, I don't know, they have places everywhere. I'm trying to think of, like, the idea of it.
But, I mean, also...
I can't think of it like...
there's enough country out there that you can get away with weird experiments.
Yeah.
And freaky creatures can go unnoticed.
So, it's like one of the reasons that Kamen Rider was, like, brought over to Brazil.
Mm.
And, like, there's a huge Brazilian population. It's also one of the reasons why, like, Sega was huge in Brazil.
Because Kamen Rider?
No, because of the Japanese.
Gotcha.
Yeah, like, I think they were making, like, Sega Genesis till, like, they were being sold till, like, 2018 or something, 2008 or something like that. It's, like, ridiculous. When you find out how long, like, the original NES and the Sega Genesis actually lasted, it's, like, ridiculous. Like, they lasted till, like, the mid-2000s, like, zeros and stuff. Like, it's, like, stupid how long these systems lasted and they were still being made.
Hmm.
Like, you can actually still buy, like, clone consoles of Sega consoles, like in Brazil, where you just like pop the cartridge in.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like that's cool. But yeah, Brazil has a big Japanese like not colony, but like population.
Colony. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, it's actually like the other way would be like saying that like
community.
Yeah, community. Like California has a large Asian population.
Yeah,
like that way around.
But yeah. Coast in general.
Yeah. I don't know why. There's probably some.
I imagine it's just a big city that's not too far away. Like you would go from airport to airport, and there you are.
Yeah.
Rather than like, who wants to go to the Midwest?
Yeah.
To start up.
No, I mean, like, why is there a Brazil population of Japanese in Brazil? Probably.
Oh.
I mean, it could be. There could be several reasons. Like a lot of maybe some Japanese companies did it's up there, or there was an actual Japanese colony there. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's interesting, but we would have to research it.
Yeah. But yeah. So like. like Kamen Rider was big in like the 90s there. Like they had like I think they had an official like Spanish dub of it and stuff like that.
Okay.
So
that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so with a lot of the stronger shocker troops come out of like Mexico and Brazil, it feels like
a little side note, there is English dubs of some Kamen Riders for Indonesia.
Hmm.
I think it was Indonesia or the Philippines, one of the two. Where like they had the English as their main language, and they actually dubbed in like their version of English, which is harder for us to understand.
Yeah.
But they like dubbed some Kamen Rider shows in English, like modern ones, like there's a ghost and stuff, like a wizard and stuff that are like done in English, but they're like almost impossible to find.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Because unless you're in that area.
Because it's like anybody online who would just get it in their native language would get it in Japanese with subtitles.
Yeah.
If you're getting it online. So it's like, yeah, you'd have to like go there or import it or anything like that. I don't even know if it was ever released. On like a media,
so it might just
be broadcast. Yeah, so it's like a weird thing, but it is out there. It's one of those things that's out there. Anyways, so Brazil.
Yeah, so he's talking up Broski, and he's like, so he's gonna help us take over Japan, and the way we're gonna do it is he's gonna destroy all of the giant gas containers.
He's gonna roll through them,
like Tokyo and
Osaka, I think it was.
Osaka. Yeah. So he's gonna roll through them, blow them up, and then
the entire city will be on fire.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Yeah, of course. They wouldn't have any. They don't have any way to stop that.
It's not like they've built it and expecting that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Definitely not.
And I'm sure they're right next to populated zones.
But at the very least, it's not the wackiest plan they've made.
And it's not lighting a bay on fire.
Yeah, and even if it doesn't blow up, it's still going to cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, but then we're going to take over the country.
Yeah, with that, because the ensuing chaos.
Yeah,
right?
And the Great Leader shows up, he's like, out of there with that crap.
Yeah, forget that. We're going to use him to destroy
Kamen
Rider.
Armadillo Long's too good for that.
Yeah. It's too good. It's like, no, this is the one time.
Yeah, he's like, no. But also, he's doing the thing where he's like, we should focus on Rider.
Yeah, I mean, okay, fair enough. I do like that it's...
Because otherwise, he's going to mess up the plan if we focus on the plan.
Yeah, because there's been... They're either not proactive enough in dealing with him, or they go out of their way to include him when they could otherwise completely avoid him. So it's like one of the thing: either ignore him entirely and set up your plan in secret and make it happen, or which I mean they've tried, but I feel like they're some of them are like, let's get Kamen Rider on this. Yeah,
yeah, it's just like
let's do it in the same area.
It's like Kamen Rider will show up anyway, so let's just focus on him first.
He's got that superpower. Yeah, or you want to focus all your efforts on blowing up his house, that kind of thing. So in this case, it's like, yeah, let's just take our strongest guy ever.
We see once again, they know exactly where Kamen Rider like sleeps. So, or at least where people he knows are. Anyways.
But yeah, it'd be too easy. So let's go kill Kamen Rider instead.
Yeah. There's something on the intercom on the, they get a little thing and it's like on the screen, it's like one of the guys survived.
Yeah. So he's picking himself up out of the rubble and kind of like stumbling off and they're like, we got to take care of this.
We got to take care of this guy.
So it goes to the racing club, kind of outside of it. Tachibana sees Hayato just riding off, and he's like, whoa, where are you going?
Where's he going so early? Because it's the next day.
Yeah.
Because it's in the paper, because everything instantly comes in the paper. And he says, he looks at the paper, and he says, says that like 4 o'clock yesterday, some houses got blown up.
Yeah, so he's like, he extrapolates that, Hayato is going to see if this is a shocker
new case, shocker plot.
And so he's... Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's thinking about it, and then you hear this, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. And my first instant thought was like, shocker troops?
Yeah, no
but,
shit.
But no, it's Yuri with a bunch of kids,
yep.
And she's in her gi, and I guess she's a black belt.
Yeah, and they start jogging in circles around Tachibana, and he's like, dude, what is going on? And she doesn't answer. I think the little kid does, right?
I think she does.
She's like, I'm teaching the class. And he's like, oh, you're a teacher? And the kid's like, come over here.
No, what it is She's about ready to say something to the kids. So it's like, she's teaching us. He's like, don't interrupt sensei. And he's just like, you're a sensei?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And the kid like asks Tachibana to come down and he like whisper in his ear. And he's just like, huh? Oh, you get Kamen Rider pendants after training, huh?
It's all coming together. Yeah,
yes. It's like, sign up for my free class that you have to with agreeing to train for a year, $100 per session, and you get a free Kamen Rider pen. Yeah. I mean,
it's exclusive. So we see Shocker kind of looming, like you see them like roll up the window menacingly
in their like. This is worse than S.H.I.E.L.D.
It is.
So they're Shocker combatants. That's what they're called. Combatants. Shocker combatants with the full balaclava and everything like that, and they're like in their. Obviously, cop car type of thing. It's a very sedan, and they roll up the window, and it's got the Shocker logo blazoned on the window.
And I'm
like, secret organization.
Seriously. This is good old 71.
Huh? Yeah, it's just like, how do you hide a secret organization? Plaster your logo on everything. Forget like getting away with murder in the past. You can get away with like global conspiracies.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like if it's so obviously Shocker, it's like you go up to
them. Well, there must be a Shocker fanboy.
It's like, we're just cosplaying, man.
Yeah.
We're going to go do a reenactment.
They were marching through town on a previous episode.
Yeah. Like with signs and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, man.
So
we see a quick scene of. I don't even know. It's okay. So we see this guy who's in all black, crouched over this guy, and the guy is dying, and Hayato shows up on his bike.
Runs over, and he sees the guy, and he's just like, the guy collapses, and he runs over.
It's like, but you see, like, his hands turn to rock, and he starts to get drained? I don't know what's going on here.
So this is the guy in black's hand.
Oh, okay.
So the guy in black is the monster.
Okay, I thought it was the other guy's hand, and that's why I was
confused. No, so this is the hand that's holding the knife that stabbed this guy in the back.
Because I knew he was the guy. It's so obviously the bad guy. And Hayato comes over, and he's like, oh, he's dead. Go, quick, get help or whatever.
Get ambulance. And the guy runs away, and he turns him over, and there's a big knife in his back. And he's like, that guy did it! And he runs after him. Yeah. So,
and he's trying to catch up, but so some lady shows up on a motorcycle and shoots an arrow at Hayato to get his attention, to be like, hey, he's my target, you leave him alone, and then drives off after the guy.
Yeah.
So rather than just go after the guy, she takes the time to stop somebody else from chasing him and tell him, hey, that's the person I'm
Well, this is a lot like the villain shooting the hostage, taking the time, instead of shooting the hero, shooting the guy that they're holding who they're questioning.
Oh, yeah. rather, don't want him to know.
Don't want him to know about my plans, or you could have just shot him.
Yeah, problem solved. Yeah, because it's always like, and that's when you get from the villains the super in-depth like sniper backstory, like this person never misses a shot, any target they go for dies, and it's like so he
could have killed him. He could have killed the hero, end of the story. Yeah. Anyways,
maybe he wasn't getting paid for that specific murder, but in this case, so the thing is, she could have easily shot the bad guy.
Yes.
And she chooses to shoot an arrow between the two of them just to get Hayato's attention and let the other guy escape.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yes.
Believe it or not, it's not even my suck.
No. This is just tension building.
Yeah.
The next scene is back at the racing club, and Goro is keeping his pendant.
Or he's got two pendants in his hand, and he's keeping, because it looks like
Mari wants one of the pendants.
Mari wants one. He's just gloating that he has two, and she doesn't have one. And he's like, nope, can't have it. Ha, ha, ha. Or that, or he took hers, and he's playing keep away.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Or he has one, and she doesn't. Either way, he has a pendant. She wants it.
Yes.
The dynamic of whose pendant it actually is, undisclosed. And Tachibana is like trying to like.
It's like, hey, knock it off. I'm trying to do some stuff here.
Yeah.
I don't know quite what he's doing. I can't remember.
Racing club stuff.
Yeah. Maybe he's trying to get some serious work done.
Yeah. Taki comes in, he's like, hey, what's going on? Where's Yuri? And he's like,
she's a teacher now.
She's a teacher now. And he's like,
oh, I gotta see this.
I gotta see this. Remember, he's married. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, she died.
It was a cover.
Yeah. I know. I mean, obviously it wasn't a real
FBI
marriage.
Scum.
Yeah. Dirty FBI scum. Still haven't told your friends. Yes. What a jerk.
She's never mentioned again, his wife. You see her once, she's mentioned one time, never again.
Never again. She probably just decided that the show wasn't going to last very long. Didn't want to be an extra.
No, they were just like, ah, that'd be boring having a character married.
Yeah. Well, especially when it's like you only have so many guys that are available, I guess. You can't really do any random subplots unless one of them's like...
Yeah. Like, if they never talk about her and they kind of like just don't acknowledge the fact that he's married, they can have like a female seduce him or something like that.
Right.
You know, or they can have things like this.
Yes.
Where he's just joking around of flirty with the other girls.
Right.
You know, because Haito's too serious for that.
Yeah.
And it like takes away from his character if he does.
It does.
So that's what Taki's there for. Taki's the guy who lives.
You can do the like the immoral stuff with the side characters, not the main character.
Not
that it's immoral, just that, you know.
You can do the riskier stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, yeah.
The cheeky stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he runs off, and then it shows the kids.
Yeah, so it goes to Yuri, and then they're jogging, and they jog in front of a fountain. She's like, stop. They get in formation, start doing the 1-2 punch thing because she's, you know, she shows them how to do it and they follow. And then she's inspecting the line and checking their form and all that. And one of the kids kind of just falls out of formation. Well, he doesn't fall or trip. I mean, like,
he just walks out of formation.
Walks off because he's lazy. This is obviously a lazy one. He's the Joker.
Yeah, he's there just because he wants to bend it and he doesn't care about Carter.
Yeah, so he goes and sits down. She's like, hey, get up. What are you doing? And he's like, I'm tired.
Which means that she's paying more attention to this guy than the rest of the kids because that's how it works. The one who wants to do the least amount of work gets the most attention.
Yep. Unfortunately.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, dang it. And he kicks off his shoe on accident. Like, he goes to do a kick and his shoe goes flying off into space.
Like, oh. And he walks over and he goes to it. Hey, Shocker.
Yeah. So Shocker comes out, kidnaps the kid. So Yuri goes over to chase him and she gets whomped. Apparently this dude, she might be a fourth degree black belt. This dude's like this ninth is, Dan. He ain't messing
this,
around.
This is the one Shocker combatant who actually has training.
Yeah.
Like like 90% of Shocker combatants have no training whatsoever.
Yeah.
This guy was actually, he was like 599 IQ, but still
like
a master martial artist.
Honestly, the way I look at it is he's OG. Like, he was there before they decided to make the Super Cyborgs. They're like, at first, they're like, okay, we just need an army, and they just gathered a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, actually, it's not working out. We need Super Cyborgs, but they didn't go back through their backlog.
Yeah, he was a guy with, like, he had the face paint on old school, and now he has to wear the balaclava. He's just like, really?
He's like, back in my day, we had tattoos.
we just worked it. But yeah, so he takes out Yuri and they like put her in a car, they take
her
off.
Super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Yeah. So then Taki shows up.
Yeah, so he shows up and he's just like, huh, they're not here. And he sees a shoe and he's like, oh, okay, there's an abandoned shoe. And then he's like, oh, and then he sees that there's a bunch of pendants laying around.
He sees a pendant and he's just like, yeah, a couple pendants. He's like, they really wanted these.
Yeah, why would the kids leave these here? This doesn't make any sense. And so the mystery is afoot.
Yes.
Like, he understands now there's something off about this.
They
must have been kidnapped by a Shocker.
Does it go to them in the car now?
It goes to them in the car, and Yuri and the kid are playing knocked out. They're pretending to have fainted. And she has this huge handful of pendants, basically leaving out pendant crumbs, if you will.
Yeah, which is a smart move, really.
Yeah, leave pendant crumbs. She only has like 12, maybe a little bit more in her pockets, but I'm thinking... you have to stop yourself from just throwing them out the window like every 5 seconds. You got to think about it.
Yeah.
You would have to be like, oh, we're turning here. Throw a pendant.
Yes.
Because...
you want them to be able to follow along the way. Like, whenever there's a turn, whenever there's a split in the road. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then it goes to the girl, the bow girl.
Oh, I got to mention this. The entire time that Taki is thinking to himself about... you know, what's happened, where are the kids and whatnot, they really wanted these pendants. He's got the pendant held up, pointed towards the screen as if it was, I mean, it's 100% product placement.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the equivalent, I don't know if you've seen these commercials, I'm sure you have. I mean, you're 8 years older than me, you've been around, you were especially old enough to recognize it every single time it happens. But you ever watch a show, and then like a Coke commercial comes on, and they take it, they drink it, and then they look towards the camera?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like, you know, it's obviously they're like, yeah, or you know, the pip extra, like,
well, yeah. Or like with the in shows, whenever they have to drink, they have to turn to the side,
yeah,
to show you the
logo. It's Mountain Dew Extra,
and so they have to show you, and the label's always perfectly turned towards you, so you can see it. So yeah, showing off this Kamen Rider print. These things are probably worth mint now.
Oh, dude, yeah. If you had one of these.
But so then it goes to the bow girl. She's driving, and then you see Armadillo Long, and he's just like, Connie.
Oh,
you followed me from Brazil.
I'll beat you.
It's like, tough girl, follow me from Brazil.
So she comes out attacking him with an arrow.
Well, he jumps in front of it. She like doesn't have a chance to draw a bow, so she just grabs. I mean, it would work on a normal person.
Yeah. I mean, well, if you can't shoot the arrow, you might as well stab him with it.
We all learned that from Legolas, right?
Yeah.
It's still pointy.
It's totally valuable. It's basically a mini spear.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And she gets worked.
Yeah.
He like slaps her around a little bit.
He ragdolls her. Like after beating her up a little bit, he throws her.
And she presents to do a ragdoll.
And caught by Kamen Rider.
That's
course.
Probably where it comes from.
The term ragdoll?
Yeah, ragdoll physics and stuff like that.
Oh,
yeah. Where like in movies you throw a doll and it all... Yeah, Hayato catches her and he's just like, you're not tough enough to do this.
Stay back.
Enough with your feminism. Let's do this. Then he jumps down. Yeah, not transformed, of course.
No. So that way we can have an excuse for why he can handle stronger threats later. And,
yeah. So he's fighting and he goes to punch him and it's like his skin is as hard as stone.
Yeah.
He's got a hard body.
Then he gets screwballed.
Yes.
Although I don't think he gets hit. It does hit the... I don't know if he got hit.
So, like, what happens is, first off, the greatest part about this attack is it demands the high ground.
Yeah.
He has to Obi-Wan this. So he has to get the high ground to get the advantage. So he jumps up a hill. There's a screwball attack. Connie yells out, like, don't get hit, I think.
Okay.
He dives out of the way. He gets clipped.
Oh, okay.
He gets clipped, and there's still, like, the little explosion. But then Armadillo Long runs into the mountain also, and that causes the rocks to fall on Hayato.
Okay, so he gets buried.
Yeah, he gets buried under the rocks.
And so obviously Armadillo Long has got what he wants. He walks off.
Yeah, he's gone. He's done.
And the girl's like, well, adios, Kamen Rider, and just...
She says Hayato.
Yeah, already adios Hayato, and just leaves him there.
Yeah. To be fair, Armadillo Long's goal is to kill Kamen Rider. He doesn't care anything about her.
Yeah.
So he thinks he just did it.
He was, yeah, she was just in his way.
Yeah. But yeah, so she thinks he's dead.
Fair assumption.
Yeah, I mean, she couldn't like dig out his body, so she might as well go on.
It's just like, adios. It's like, yeah. You're the reason this happened. If you just let him stop earlier.
Gracias, dead man.
Yeah.
yeah, you're the reason why this happened.
Right.
So
yeah, he goes back to Taki and he's following along. He's picking up these pendants as he goes because he's following the trail. He gets to a crossroads.
Yeah.
And he's looking around. He doesn't see a pendant, so he takes the left path and goes off. But then it kind of zooms out, and you see that the pendant was just a little ways up the road if he had just gone down. So he's going down the wrong path at the moment.
Yeah.
And as he's going down the wrong path.
Wrong path. Right quarry.
Right. Exactly. He ends up in the right quarry to get ambushed by...
I think this whole thing takes place in one giant quarry.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the world. There might as well be in Mad Max at this point.
Right? No kidding, man.
So, yeah, he gets ambushed by shocker troops.
So he gets off his bike. He runs up the hill. He's fighting off four of them, five of them maybe.
Yeah.
And the lady comes out and helps him. So she doesn't stop to do anything else, but she'll stop to help out random guy. I mean, she says something like, oh, these guys are here. That means the base must be around here. And I'm thinking, well, then go look for the base then. I don't see how this is part of your motives.
Yeah.
You've shown to not care before.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Taki's more attractive.
True.
He's like, oh, yes, I'm doing it for information.
So, you know, they're handling the troops pretty easy.
Yeah.
But then Armadillo Long shows up and just gives Taki a beat down.
Well, yeah, and then she shoots an arrow at Armadillo Long.
Yeah, right in his head.
And it just does nothing.
Yeah, bounces off. I'm wondering like it was probably like a 5-pound test bow, like one of those ones you'd have for kids. I'm just wondering if the helmet's actually sturdy enough to be like, okay, yeah, go ahead and shoot it.
So I think it was like the way the shot was. I think it was just someone off camera that's like,
oh, like kind of like bonk.
Yeah,
I could see it.
They still get worked.
Yeah, no, he works them.
And then Kamen Rider shows up. Hayato shows up. And they're like on the edge of a cliff about ready to fall in some water. You know how it is in quarries, giant cliffs going into water.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hayato shows up, transforms into Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
And starts fighting, and it's still like, oh, his body is so hard.
Too tough to, yeah, because all of his attacks are basically useless. This is your typical tank monster.
Yeah, he gets knocked down a path. He like jumps back up and does a Rider kick, and he gets knocked down again.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
He basically rolls down to the bottom of a hill after getting hit, and he jumps up to do a huge Rider kick, and then I think he just deflects off of it.
Yeah, he does.
And after deflecting, I think
he gets a screw shot, and it's like and then knocked into the water.
Yeah, he's gone. He ragdolls himself into the water.
Yes, and then the Armadillon goes over to the other two.
Yeah, because they're looking down at Hayato being like, oh no. And then he kind of like lazily pushes them off the cliff. Well, not really off the cliff, but down
the side. And they like grab hold of some trees and they're fine.
Yeah, so they're just kind of hanging there. And so I think he just leaves, right?
Yeah, he leaves.
Yeah, and then they
they climb back up and then they start following around and they go to a rope bridge.
I think this is
it's like, okay, I've said it before. It's like, I've been on some rope bridges. You do not do what they're doing on a rope bridge. Like, they're going down the rope bridge, and he keeps, like, trying to grab her.
Yeah.
And she's like, on the rope bridge, and she's like, leave me alone. Wait till you're off the rope bridge. Mm-hmm. They stop halfway in between, and she just instantly decides to tell her entire backstory.
Yeah, she goes through the whole thing.
And, like, there's no, like, convincing. He, like, tries to grab her twice. She says, back off. And then she just stops, and she's just like, my mother and father were killed.
Yeah. And she pulls out, like, a pendant or something.
What it was is, like, when they were on the top of the thing, being menaced by Armadillon, she's like, you killed my mother, my father, and my little brother.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So she tells the story that, like, she's from Brazil,
mm-hmm.
and Armadillon killed, like, busts into their house.
They're having dinner, and he just kicks the door in, kills everybody about her. And she finds out it's just because they were test subjects, basically. He was just testing out his power.
Yeah. That reminds me, I'm like, we should have a story about that guy that the gecko just killed who was jogging.
Yeah.
Like, his brother.
Yeah.
It's like, seriously. That guy becomes, like,
a vigilante superhero.
Fighting Shocker and stuff.
Yeah. It's just like, maybe takes it a little too far.
But yeah, it's like, yeah, he was just testing his powers. He's broke into a family's house and killed them and walked off, yeah. Which is like a lot like weather.
Yeah. I mean, it's something you could see happening.
Yeah.
And then who's going to believe you when you say a weird armadillo creature came and killed your family? If anything, if you were to say that, at that point, they would start to think maybe you're the one.
Well, looking at the house, they probably just think, oh, an earthquake.
Yeah. True.
The house collapsed.
Yeah.
And, like, that's probably why she survived, is the house just collapsed after he knocked over, like, 9 walls to kill his family.
Right.
So then
because, I mean, he's been shown to, like, be able to crush rocks with his bare
hands.
Yeah,
he's super strong. That's like, the whole thing.
But, yeah, there's no way that would look like a normal person coming in and murdering a family. Yeah. It's going to look like some damage.
So they go back to the base, and they're like...
Well, she runs off crying.
Yeah. they go back to the base, and they're all talking about, you killed Kamen Rider. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, your name will be honored forever in the annals of Shocker history.
And they're like, what do we do with the woman and the child we kidnapped for no reason? And this is like, according to Shocker law... We need to find out more about the Shocker law.
Shocker, in accordance to Shocker law, they must be executed in a grand fashion.
Yeah.
Now that explains
a lot.
Yeah. Shocker law is, if you're going to execute them, it has to be grand.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do a whole spectacle. You got to make sure everyone's involved.
The next day, they have to have time to reconsider their lives. You can't kill them that day.
No.
I think that's part of Shocker law.
Yeah, it's lazy.
You can't execute the same day you capture. You got to wait for the next day, at least.
Right. I mean, this is definitely. It's probably one of my favorite things because this explains all of the plot holes in the past. It's a feature.
Yeah.
It's like you were telling me about Star Trek and the excuse for why everything is a humanoid creature.
Yeah.
And there's never any aliens. They're all humanoid.
Yeah.
Because they all come from the same, like...
Yeah, one species that looked kind of human-seeded the entire universe. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like... But, yeah, this whole thing is like, from now on, anytime anything's weird, we can just be like, Shocker law.
So...
I'm sorry, but it was completely different than the last time. Oh, I'm sorry. But the thing is like, after a certain date, you have to do it a different way.
Yeah.
That's Shocker law.
Shocker law, man.
Shocker law.
It's Article B.
Yeah.
You weren't paying attention. Let's go back over it. You, like, whip out a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But there's two more things about this scene. One is that now that Comrade is gone, they're going to initiate an all-out attack on Japan. They've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
And they said something like, invite Tobe.
Oh, so that's the thing. It's like, they were going to execute them, and they're going to invite Tachibana.
Oh, Tachibana. And his
family name. His first name's Tobe.
Okay.
Tachibana Tobe.
Yeah, because all I caught was Tobe. I didn't see the family name.
Yeah.
If so I had seen Tachibana, this wouldn't have been a question.
Yeah, so...
I was just like...
so they're going to invite Tachibana to watch the execution.
Hmm.
Not him, too, but whatever.
Don't execute him, too. I'm sure
Shocker law. Shocker law.
It's because they didn't capture him during a scheme.
Yes.
So if he's around on the next scheme...
Yeah, he can only be executed if he's, at that point, part of a scheme or initiating in combat with Shocker. Right. Then they capture him and execute him.
Right.
Shocker law. Yeah. So...
So it goes back to Taki and I believe the lady and he, or no, no, it's just him by himself. She runs off, right? It's just Taki?
No, it's both of them.
Okay. So he's going, you know, backtracking, and when he takes the other path, he sees the pendant immediately. Yeah. It's still
She's
there.
Got her own motorcycle, remember?
Right.
So yeah,
oh, that's right. It's like a red one.
Yeah. So yeah, he finds the other pendant, and so they back up and they find the trail, and then they go and they see a bunch of okay, this is probably I think this will probably be my suck when I think about it. So they go and they see five Shocker goons. And she takes out her bow and arrow to start doing it. And he's like, don't. We can beat these five guys. I like that. He's just like, you and me, we can take out these five guys. It's
no
big deal.
No problem.
It's just five guys.
It's like, but we don't want to endanger the two hostages.
We don't want to endanger the two hostages. There's no telling what might happen. I have a plan.
Yeah.
And he goes and he takes one of her arrows, wraps a cloth around it, sticks it in the gas tank, taking some gas. And he's like, light this on fire. Shoot at those trees to distract them. She's like, okay. So she cocks the bow, shoots it, lights the trees. And then they just go fight them.
Yeah, so the Shocker goons run over there with their knives, and they're like, who's that? Who's there? And they're getting closer to where the fire is. I'm like, okay, so if you saw an arrow shoot over there, why would you get closer to where they have shot, first off? And then, yeah, all they did is move them from the road to slightly next to the road.
Yeah.
And then they just run in and start punching them.
I thought, oh, no. So these are my two things. First off, is your plan to start a forest fire? If that show, that is a distraction. Yeah, mass deforestation. That'll get them out of the base. The other thought was like, oh, get them over there, and then we'll sneak by into the base.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, fine. But all they do is they move them 12 feet and then fight them. And it's enough for them to, like, make a call and do this thing. I'm like, you just said that not to do this.
Yeah, don't do this. Yeah, but so they start to call in. He goes over, he knocks the thing out of their hand, beats down the goon. They're calling like, hey, what do you say? What do you want? What do you need? And he picks up the thing. He's like, oh, never mind. It's all good.
Yeah.
But the other thing I forgot to mention, too, is that they're so he gets back on the right path, and they catch up with Shocker right as they're getting past the checkpoint with them saluting and all that. So Yuri's in this car that's going past the checkpoint. And I'm like, what, were they going like 15 miles per hour?
They're taking the scenic route.
Apparently. Yeah, they stopped. It's like, okay, bathroom break. It's like, come on, we're 5 minutes away from home. It's like, I have to go now.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, that whole scene was kind of funky.
Yeah.
And especially with the plan that's not really a plan.
The forest fire, non-forest fire. I've been like, yeah, it's like, what? That's not... Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if you ever played a, what are they called? It's like a choose-your-own-adventure story. I remember, okay, it was this one. It was for zombies, of course, because I don't know. I just can't get off. I'm obsessed. Leave me alone.
Was it the Telltale Walking Dead one?
No. That's an example of one.
Yeah.
But so you get to this point where you're like, you're in an office building and you're stuck in the bathroom, and it's like, okay, so what should you do? And your options are like try to barricade the door by breaking down a stall wall, which obviously that's going to take too much time. It's not going to work. You could try to go through the vents, or you can stuff up the sinks along the wall to create water, so that way when the zombies come in, they'll slip around and maybe you can get past them or whatever. And if you do that one, because I did all of them, if you do that one, they basically just break through the door as you're stuffing rags down the first thing and turning the water on, and then they come attack you because you're just wasting time.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it might work maybe if the whole room was flooded and it was like slick with oil or something like that. Yeah. But you're ultimately going to be ending up doing the same exact thing you would have if you just ran up the road and started punching Shocker in the face.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I just want you to light that tree on fire, really.
It's
killed
kind of like,
family.
Do they think they're in a Metal Gear Solid game?
Yeah.
Where, like, if the guys are off to another, a foot this way.
Oh, it's an animal.
Yeah. If it's like a foot over to the side, the other guy around the corner won't notice.
Yeah.
Their friend just being knocked unconscious and dragged 14 feet.
The difference between them noticing a bush that's walking across the road is basically a matter of inches as far as the game's concerned. They're either A, in... within the distance to see you, or B, not. It doesn't matter how far away it is.
It's
the programming, man.
I wish you could see actual cones of visibility in real life.
Right? Oh, that would be an OP power. There you go. Yeah. That's a cheat ability for your next isekai.
See it in the map. I think Death March Rhapsody has it, where you can see in the map, like,
Got the HUD.
Yeah, he's got the HUD, and I think he can, like, because he can, like, search the HUD too. Be like, how many enemies in this area are over this level, and they'll just know. Or he can be like, how many enemies in this area are demons.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's a quest over there. But anyway.
Yeah, so then they break into the base.
Yeah, so they're in the cave,
and they go into the main Shocker room first. And they're like, there's nobody here.
It's completely empty. All the gadgets and gizmos are still whirring and stuff like that, whizzing.
And so then they go, because, I mean, I'm guessing that they're like Walmarts. They're all designed the same way.
Yeah.
So Taki obviously knows how to get to the holding cells.
Of course.
goes to the holding cells. He sees Yuri and the kid in the cage, and he's like, oh, Yuri. And I know it's that he took these keys off of one of the guys.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I just love the fact, I just like the idea that, like, he just always carries around shocker keys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's got to be...
They're FBI special shocker keys.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea is that he got them off of one of the guards.
They've broken into enough bases that he probably has one for everything. It's not like they're going to make a brand new key every freaking time.
Yeah, they buy these things in bulk.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know.
So he's like, here, he opens up the cage.
Runs in, goes to shake her like crazy to wake her up, and it's a freaking doll.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, and he grabs the kid, and it's just like another day. Oh.
I think one of them had a shocker mask on him.
Yes.
It was like, it goes from clearly Yuri to like a shocker mask in a gi.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no. And of course, it's an ambush. Zol comes walking out.
And he's like,
some people with knives bring in the actual Yurian child. And they're like, it's going to be an execution tomorrow, boys.
Yep.
Woo-hoo.
I'm going to have to delay gratification and kill you tomorrow. According to Shocker Law.
Because it's got
to
be grand.
Yeah. So he goes to Tachibana. Mm-hmm. He's at the club. And he's talking to the kid's mother or family.
Yeah,
and
they're worried about where the kids are.
Oh, maybe not. But it's like, do. And put one for Yuri, too.
Yeah.
Like, missing persons report.
Yeah, put out a missing persons report. Because he's telling her not to. Don't freak out. Everything will be fine.
Yuri's with him.
Why are they calling him? It's like, look, she's part of my racing club, but...
She was probably using the racing club as the dojo.
Like, as the location for the business. He's like, I'm going to have a talk with you. My taxes have gone way up, I have no idea
why. For some reason, I'm a nine business thing. It's like... Mari's running like a mail order thing through here.
Fair, that's exactly what they would do too. Yeah. Like, that's something I can see happening.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh yeah, the location of my dojo, the place I don't pay rent.
So he hangs up the phone and notices there's a letter under his door.
Yeah, it's like a postcard, and he's like, where are they? And then he looks at it, he's like, oh, what's that? Oh, Shocker.
Yeah, invitation to their execution. It's pretty specific.
It's like the location of the place, the time, you know, all according to the Shocker Law. And
so obviously he's on the move. He can't just leave this be. So the next scene, we see all of the people that are captured. That is the lady, Taki, both the girl and the kid, and they're being led across a river.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, you know, tied up, being led by Shocker. And you see Taki, and he's looking over, and he has kind of a smile, but he gets rid of it immediately and, like, focuses on staying eyes forward. What he saw was Tachibana is kind of, like, creeping around the rock, looking at the perfect opportunity to come.
What I love is, like, he's doing a stealth mission, right? Still in a sports coat.
Oh, yeah.
He's dressed
to look good.
Yeah, he's not gonna confront Shocker in sweats. What am I, an animal?
So what he doesn't know before he does his ambush is that he's also being stalked.
Yeah.
By Armadillong, who throws a whole ass boulder at him.
Yeah.
Very narrowly escapes the boulder, like it comes crashing down, maybe an inch in front of him.
Yeah.
So physics says that it's going to kind of roll and crush him, but who cares about physics?
It would be if it wasn't made out of foam.
Yeah. I was about to say, even if it does roll, he's going to be fine.
Armadillon comes, slaps him around, and then they tear him back up. It's just like they caught him too.
Yeah, he does. Okay, so he does a flip, because, you know, as you do, you can't move anywhere without front flipping.
Yeah.
And this is when I first noticed that he has a huge hole in his pants. Armadillon costume has a huge hole right in the crotch area. Like, it's like enough that you can't see it when he's standing from either angle. But the moment he does a flip, every time you're going to see white underpants, and then later you're going to see red underpants. So I know there's two different days of filming. I wish I didn't know, but I do. And you can tell it's a stretchy uniform, because, like, whenever he's standing still, the hole gets really small. It's only when he's, like, bent into a ball form and doing the flip that it really stretches into, like, a sizable grapefruit-sized hole. Just thought it was funny because the whole fight scenes after this, there's so many flips that it's like super obvious if you're paying attention. I could not see it, I guess.
So they beat up Tachibana.
Yeah, poor guy.
And so, he gets tied in and he's next.
Yeah. He's just going to join the execution. Yeah. Now. See, he added himself to the execution. If you just ignore the invitation.
If you just would have gone and watched, I think they would have been fine.
Right. His punishment enough.
Yeah.
He goes there and there's like a stand like selling popcorn and soda.
Yeah. It's for the execution. Zol's there. He's like, hey.
3D glasses.
Careful, you know.
This actually would have been a really nice event. You know?
Previews are starting.
Trailers.
Trailers. For the people we're going to execute next week.
But so the next scene, it's the racing club. Hayato opens the door, like, oh, you can tell he's kind of sore, like, stretching out, sits down on the couch.
He's like about ready to just go to sleep, and then he sees the letter from Shocker,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like, ah, throws it down and gets out.
Classic. But yeah, just in time for a good old-fashioned bridge fight.
Yeah, so they go to a bridge. It's actually like a bridge over a artificial waterfall dam type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's actually called. And so I think they're trying to do the old communist trick where you kill the first one, throw them off the bridge while they're tied to everybody else, and it drowns everybody.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think like old school communists used to do this where they
were only using one bullet.
You shoot the first guy and it kills everybody, and then you build a family of the first guy for the bullet.
For the first bullet.
Yeah.
Brutal, but happened.
Yeah, yeah.
That's real life.
Yeah.
A little bit of horror for you.
Yeah. So, I personally rather be the first guy.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because after that, because it starts off with one person holding up one body, and then it's two, and then three, and however many in a line.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Flown off. I think anybody's been, well, I can't say anything. I was going to spoil a show for people. Not going to cut that out.
So, the Shocker goon is just like, okay, well, we're going to throw the kid off first.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Taki could just stop the kid from falling if it's a good enough rope, because Taki just be like, stop.
Yeah, he's like, okay, well, I can hold
up. I'm pretty
up
sure Taki
could
probably hold up most of them.
Yeah, probably. especially depending on, like, if there's like a ledge.
Yeah, there was a ledge on the
plant your feet on and kind of like lean your weight back.
I mean, it would be hard.
Oh,
if
sure.
If it was all of them. Yeah. I think the kid he'd have no problem with.
Yeah,
he'd probably
no pull problem whatsoever.
Taki could probably pull the kid up with his teeth.
Yeah.
But, so they're about ready to throw the kid off, and then Kamen Rider arrives.
Yep.
And then the Shocker goons gently put down the kid, and then there's because it's an actual kid,
right?
So then there's a fight, and like
some of the goons go down.
Everybody goes after Kamen Rider.
Yeah, there's like a little Rider kick. It does nothing.
And then
because he's hitting Armadillo on with it. But then he's like, they're having a fight, and he starts working him and realizes, oh, it's his stomach. His stomach is his weak point because that's the only thing that's responding to damage, which, you know, Armadillo belly makes a little sense.
You see that somehow they've all become untied.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
inexplicably.
Then they kick a couple guys, and then they leave the base, so they're out.
Yeah. So, okay, so this fight takes place on a bridge. It takes place on top of the damn thing, the second level of the damn thing, and then finally at the very base of it. Is where the final bit happens.
A lot of kicks, a lot of flips, a lot of punches.
Oh, yeah.
And then he does a Rider kick at the stomach.
Yeah. I mean, of course, some screwball shots are thrown in there here.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rider kicks the stomach, problem.
Oh,
solved.
There was one time when he does the screwball and Kamen Rider just grabs him.
Oh, yeah.
And just throws him like a ball.
Why not? Like, why not?
Right. Then he does the Rider kick on the stomach and he blows up.
So when Rider kicks him, he like kind of falls down the dam. Of course, he's totally fine. I think he jumps into the water.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, where's Kamen Rider? And both Taki and Tachibana kind of like avoid his gaze and like scratch their nose. Like, oh, I don't know.
We're not friends with Kamen Rider.
Why not just say that?
I don't know.
He's like, I don't know. I don't know, kid. We're standing right next to you. Do you see him?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me just check my friggin' spidey senses. Oh, my nipples are firm. They're pointing that direction. That must be where Kamen Rider is. Yeah. Slap him on the top of the head. Like, don't be stupid. I'll tell you when I find out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. In your kid's show. Yeah. So then it shows Hayato riding on his motorcycle. We're like, so this is an interesting thing.
This is a good way to end it.
So they're like, okay, well, he beat him, but gotta remember.
Yeah, he finally destroyed Armadillong, but
remember, people died.
Yeah, people died, and there's more dying that we're not even seeing.
Yeah,
that's what they said, something like that. It's like there's more cases that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
So yeah,
pretty tense.
That's actually the truth. That's why it's kind of important to kill Shocker.
Yeah, because they don't care. Oh, we forgot to mention the fact that Connie's just like, Armadillo's just like,
oh, thanks.
I've gotten a revenge. I'm like, what did
like
you
holding her pendant. Yeah, seriously. You could have done nothing. And I still would have got to.
Your home country, Japan, is amazing, father. we We've got our revenge. You got captured.
Yeah, you did nothing. You beat up like two troops.
Good thing we'll never see you again.
No kidding.
Like, her story could have been so awesome.
It could have been much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. That would have been the best way to, like, have a new girl join the group.
Yep.
Is just like, yeah, we beat Armadillo.
Have somebody
Long,
capable.
But we're like, but Shocker, who was behind Armadillo, is still going, so you need help with that.
Yeah. And it would be very easy to join the racing club.
Yeah.
She has a motorcycle. She has the skills.
Yes. But yeah, never see her again.
I'm not surprised, honestly.
What is your suck?
I have two. So I have one very minor and one major. So the first one is them catching up to the car right as it shows up. It's like, it's not like they were going super fast either.
Yeah.
So just the way that it works, like they must have been going like 10 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Now, I understand for like narrative purposes why you'd want to see them go through the checkpoint. I just figure you would be able to extrapolate from incomplete information anyway, so it's not a necessary scene. Whatever. But the big one, this is the big suck for me, is, and especially the ending kind of like puts it in perspective with the whole there's people dying off screen.
Yeah.
You know, you never know when somebody's dead. So that's why Hayato is working so hard, because that was the idea, is him racing off to the next one.
Yeah.
Like he never sleeps, never eats, just justice. Well, except for when you get thrown down a hill and decide, screw it, I'll just go back to the racing club and have a nap or whatever the heck he was doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he gets thrown down, whatever, and you're always expecting him. Like when Taki saw Tachibana behind the rock, it was a river. I thought maybe he saw Hayato behind the rock. But no, it was Tachibana. So you're telling me Hayato decided, okay, I know that there's a Shocker troop there, and I know Taki and the lady are still looking for him. Everything will be all right. I'll just go get a little bit of R&R, come back, relax. You know, this is exactly the problem I had with the whole cocoon thing.
Where he's just like, it's so lax about it.
It's counterproductive. It's kind of, I feel like it's out of character. I don't know. I don't like it. It's at the very least, it's the worst thing you could do in a crisis for the hero to be like, just go see what's going on at home real quick.
Be like, the only thing I can think of is he didn't know like what to do now.
I guess. I don't know. I just feel like at the very least, he should be like, oh yeah, that lady's still under attack.
Yeah.
That one that was in the fight with me?
Yeah.
You know, at the very least. Like, let's just say he didn't see Taki. I mean, at the very least.
Yeah. So it's like, maybe the only thing you can think of is like, I have no idea. I don't know what next to do.
I suppose. So go back and recoup or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
What was your suck?
So, my suck, I had one. What was it? It was,
was it the stupid plan with the fire arrows?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was the fact that, like, it was this whole plan, and it's just like, yeah, that makes sense. You don't want to do it that way.
Yeah.
You know, but then they just do it. They just fight him.
Yeah. I'm not just to like, mention that even let's say they follow through with the plan and they just distract him and sneak past, they're going to see that it was an arrow that's on fire. The alarm goes up.
Yeah.
Somebody shot a flaming arrow. It wasn't nature.
Yeah. And then just go beat him up anyway. So it's just like, at first when he's just like, oh, yeah, we can't beat him up because there's hostages. I'm like, yeah, let's just beat him up over there.
Yeah.
So
beat him up 4 feet over. They can't call for help.
Yes.
Don't you know?
Okay. So what is yours, Sugoi?
Besides the awesome product placement, because, I mean, it was in your face the entire episode.
Yeah.
Like, they made sure that coin was visible.
If you had him, you'd be saved by from Shocker by Kamen Rider. Those are facts.
Those are the rules. But other than that, I actually thought the final fight location was really cool. Every once in a while, you'll get a really cool location as one of them. I mean, no matter how many times you add something to a quarry, it's still a quarry.
Yeah.
So sure, there's a flaming cross and some chains involved in this fight, but it's still a quarry.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't expect to see this location again, kind of like when they were fighting in the
sawmill.
Yeah. Like, that's an example. Probably never, ever going to see that again. So it was really cool to see that.
Were they fighting on the church and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's cool to have a little different thing other than a quarry.
Yeah.
You know, they have the quarry because it's easy.
Yeah.
It's cheap. But still, they have some cool things here. Yeah. So, my Sugoi, Shocker Law.
Yeah, the Shocker Law adds a little bit of depth.
Now everything is going to be Shocker Law.
Yeah.
The reason for everything, you know?
Yeah, it's the law,
It's the reason why you have to brainwash them last.
Yeah.
Shocker Law.
Shocker Law. And they're like, come on, can we just change the Shocker? No!
That Shocker Law is absolute. If we change it, that means we were wrong.
Yeah.
And we are never wrong.
Never wrong. You know what happens without the law? Chaos. We don't want chaos. We want to inflict chaos.
Yes.
Pay attention.
Yeah, so it's great. So
they're like, we're Nazis, not the Neanderthals.
So now, the writer ranking.
So normally, I just let him float. But I just can't see a reason not to drop him down after, like I can understand, yeah, like, not having an idea of where to go, but come on, man. Like, what did he get knocked out? There's no explanation. And I know he's bruised and battered, and he's a little, like, oh, geez.
The only thing is, like, the only place he has to go down is below below Ichigo.
He's already seventh or sixth?
He's already sixth.
Oh, man.
And yeah. Nigo wasn't helping at all in this episode. He's already down below. I mean, it's just like, the thing is what it means is that Kuga really has to mess up next episode.
Fair enough, yeah. He's so far down now that it's like, yeah. Even if Kuga does something similar, it's still like he's in the same place because he lost points, but he's still, you know,
yeah,
the other guy's negative points.
Yeah,
now.
He's not nearly as bad as Nigo. So. Yeah, so, yeah, he's at number six right now. So, like, I see where it is, but I still couldn't, like, lower him below someone who isn't even in the show.
Yeah. It's hard to say. Especially because, yeah, it's just like, whatever. If he's gonna remain above Ichigo when Ichigo comes back, so be it. I don't think so, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
The only thing is, like, the show does focus a whole lot more on Ichigo when he comes back. Like, there's some episodes that don't even have Nigo.
Oh.
Like,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Hongo a lot. I just feel like you can't do the guy that dirty. Especially when the only reason the show's continuing is,
yes,
because of the hard work he's putting in.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's kind of sad.
Yeah. But he always was just a filler. That was, mm-hmm, the problem. Or the point, really.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're still in Nigo's life, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, okay, to be fair, you would need to have a story in order to tell a story for two people.
Yeah.
So it's not like they have plot lines and, like, oh, this was his arc all along.
Yeah.
None of that's thought up. It's Monster of the Week, so you only really need one hero to take care of Monster of the Week.
And it's really easy to be like, oh, Nigo's in Brazil now.
Yeah. He's dealing, yeah, with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, this high five, switch off places.
Yeah.
But he does come back. He's still in the show.
Yeah. Like,
but
the reason why he's not here, because he's in southern Japan and we're, yeah, in northern Japan, yeah, right now.
Speaking of which, the next episode is Japan in Peril. Toad Diller's Invasion.
It's fun watching you try to, like,
figure out how they want it to be said. And we won't even hear it because they use the Japanese, they use, like, Gero or something like that, because that's
the, yeah, like the sound effect or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, but ribbit.
It's T-O-A-D-I-L-L-E-R.
Toadler?
Toadiller.
Toadiller?
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be Toad and Killer.
Oh, Toadiller, Toad Killer.
Yeah, put together.
Toadiller sounds dirty.
Yeah. But our next episode, we will be in Kamen Rider Kuga, and we will get to see if the third part of a three-parter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because still fighting Bada.
Yeah. Epic enough to get three parts.
Yep.
Some of them only get one part.
Some of them get like 5 minutes in a recap episode. It is episode 34, Tremble. And that will be our next episode. Thank you for listening. I have been Eric.
I'm Eugene.
We'll see you next time.